invite my colleague, Professor Michael Engadi. So Dr. Engadi is a leading food and bioprocess engineer in Canada. He earned his doctoral degree from Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia. He previously worked with Laval University and University of Georgia before joining McGill University in 1998. He is a professional member of various societies. Dr. Engadi's research interest is understanding how product and process interrelate and translate it to optimized food quality and safety. The emphasis of his work is on mathematical modeling and optimization, heat and mass transfer phenomena, food properties, hyperspectral imaging, deep fat drying and cooking processes, bulk packaging, and non-thermal technologies, including pulse electric field. So you can see that there are lots of technologies that he brings in to the food matrix. Although it is not here, I know Professor Engadi is very much involved in developmental activities. He's almost finishing up a big West African rice processing project in multiple countries in Africa. And now he has begun a project with IFAD funding. So certainly he is very much active in Western Africa and beyond. Without any further ado, Professor Engadi, you have 10 minutes to give your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Professor Raghavan. It's a real pleasure for me to be here. one of the things that I always remind people is that the food that really matters would be the food that you actually eat. If we produce and we do not get food to the table of consumers, then perhaps we need to rethink how we produce food. So it's very important to produce, and but more importantly, is really critical to make sure that the food we produce actually get to consumers, and that also that the food we actually get to the consumers contribute to their nutritional requirement. Now, I'm going to talk about value chain. Now, and what I want to submit to you this morning is that when we are talking about gender and equity, and when we're talking about technology and how food will be produced in the future, what comes to my mind is actually value chain. And it is important for us to really integrate value chain in the discussion, because that's really where we actually get the push or the pool that we need to make sure that food get to the table of people that need it. Now, I'm not sure whether you are aware of the Global Harvest Initiative. They produce this beautiful report every year about the global scenario of agricultural production. And the recent report that they have published has a fairly detailed information about the state of agriculture, the state of food production around the world, and I highly recommend that if you would have time to read it. But, and I'm not going to go into the details of this. We already know that the population is increasing. We are sitting at about 7.3 billion, very quickly going to 9.6 in 2050. We know about urbanization. We know about the growing middle class, the need to provide protein. In fact, a lot of people are talking about where that protein is going to come from. And then a number of other things that I would not go into. But one of the things that struck me in the report is this statistics that about one-third, at least one-third, I would suggest, of agricultural output actually end up in wasted. So you would perhaps want to read that. Now, the Global Harvest Initiative has this, what I call the efficiency of production. They actually put it as the TFP, total factor productivity, which is really a ratio of the output and the input, what you input into the system, which will be your the resources, and then the output. Now, if you go with that TFP as a factor and look at how different countries or different regions of the world are faring, then you very quickly find out that there is a problem across the world, certainly in the sub-Saharan Africa, where 15% is estimated, the 15% of the total demand for food will be met using the current TFP in terms of growth. Now, obviously what that means is that there is a problem that we all need to be talking about, that we all need to be addressing. Now, let's go back just briefly again to how that efficiency is calculated. Now, I just said that it is the output divided by the input, very simply. Now, but when you look at how that output is calculated, obviously you would very quickly see that we are really talking about farm gate productivity, which becomes a problem. Now, what really should happen would be that when you factor the food that really gets to consumers, the actual what really matters, then that efficiency becomes even lower, and that is very troubling. Now, what will happen is that there are two things you can do. Obviously, you want to increase that input, and then for a given amount of input, you want to increase the output. But also, I would suggest that what you want to do is to push that output a lot further into the value chain. And that's where the technology comes in. That's where the innovation comes in. How do we extend that productivity in order to increase that output? And now, if we look at the scenario in sub-Saharan Africa, you find that it's characterized by small farm sizes, typically about 2 hectares, for instance, whereas in the U.S. it would be about 10 times that, easily 10 times or even 100 times that, 200 hectares on the average. So you have low resource input, low productivity. But at the same time, the good news is that because of that low small farm size, then there is this potential for high efficiency. So actually, in spite that you've got this low farm sizes, we have the potential to significantly increase the efficiency of these small sizes. And then, of course, I've talked about the high post-harvest losses. Now, if you look at those post-harvest losses, there are some staggering numbers, 1.3 billion tons wasted annually, according to FAO statistics. And then, of course, this makes the region very vulnerable to price fluctuations. Now, so what do we do then? The thing is that the key to prosperity, especially in these developing countries in sub-Saharan Africa, would be to increase agricultural production efficiency and then to target the smallholder farmer to see how we can increase their efficiency and then draw out that output into the value chain. And that is what actually will transform the smallholder farmer. So this is one of the things that I'm quite excited about in working at McDonald campus, and I don't know how many of you would be familiar with this, what McDonald said when McDonald campus was established about roughly 100 years ago, that rural development happens when primary agricultural products are processed or transformed and then value added at the rural level. Now, 100 years into this, we have seen the transformation that a college, a rural college like McDonald College then would have in the world. And that is really what is essential. If we are going to make a difference in the world, if we are going to make food available to people. But there is a challenge, there is a problem, and that challenge is this global technology gap, because the traditional technologies are no longer able to meet the need. So, and this is one of the reasons why I decided to be a food engineer, the man with the hole. Now, we cannot assume that we can make a difference with the current technology. The man with the hole cannot feed the whole world. You would have to be able to bring in appropriate level technology that will allow the man to make this difference in the world, that will allow the smallholder farmer, that will allow women processors in the villages to make a difference. And that's the challenge that all of us have. What would be that technology? Now, what happens when we talk about technology and innovation, it comes as a push and a pull. There has to be a push, and then there has to be at the same time a pull. And I'm going to, again, because of time, I see that there are so many things now. When we talk about technology, it's required in product design and development and product and technology innovation. So what I would suggest to you is that the platform for technology has to happen at three levels, has to happen at three P's. Now, and those three P's would be product, process, and practice. So technology has to address those three points. And it has to add, it has to create value, it has to capture value, and at the same time, it has to facilitate process. And it is when those three come together that you can actually see a huge significance in technology and innovation. Now, I picked this up from Canadian data, where if you look at the value chain, the production level is about roughly $14 billion. Whereas if you go more into the retail downstream in the value chain, then it doubles. It did almost 10 times that, for $100 billion. Now, and when we talk about technology, and we can see this even in the West, because when you look at the capacity to innovate, now there is a linear correlation between the GDP and the capacity to innovate. So I will stop here by just simply saying that appropriate value chain processing technologies and innovations are crucial. They are vital, really, for ensuring food availability, nutrition, as well as enhancing the overall capacity of people around the world, certainly people in the developing countries, to access food that they would need. So thank you very much.